Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
We are happy to greet you today. Thank you for taking the time to listen to Searching the Scriptures. This program focuses upon helping us all learn the Word of God more accurately. Let us begin with this fundamental question. What will be the eternal destiny of those who have committed sin? The Bible gives us the answer to this important question. But for the fearful and unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and fornicators, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Hopefully you can say with confidence that you have never been guilty of murder. In fact, you and I can list so many sins we have not committed. If we were to make a long list of sins we have never done, we might be tempted to become puffed up and say, "Listen to all the bad things that I have not done." We might begin to feel better about ourselves. You know, we might even feel like this list shows us to be a good person. It is so common these days for people to make a self-evaluation and conclude that they are really not a bad person. After all, they simply refrain from so much evil, they deduce they are really a pretty good person. Think about that list of sins: murder, embezzlement, fraud, etc. may all be classified as sins of commission, meaning things that can be committed or done. However, most have never considered that there is another category of sins, namely sins of omission. When we fail to do what we ought to do, we are guilty of the sin of omission.
Our society is full of people who live lives that would be classified by their fellow men as good. You hear people say about someone, he or she is such a good person. They have never been guilty of rape, murder, embezzlement, etc., etc. The list of bad things they have not done is long indeed. Now, here is the point that is largely overlooked by the masses of humanity. We cannot enter heaven simply on the basis of what bad we have not done. Many labor under the illusion that since they are not too bad, they will be allowed to enter heaven. I venture to say that most folks commonly believe that all good people will go to heaven, and the standard of goodness they are using is defined by men and not by God. So, unbeknownst to many people, there is a whole other category of sins, that is, sins of omission, that is, what is omitted that should be done. And now that we take the time to think about it, it makes sense. What parent would be happy with their child if this describes their behavior? Let me paint this picture. Freddie, this little boy, does not fight with his siblings. He stops and listens when his parents are speaking. He does not throw fits in anger. So far, I'm describing a good little boy. But what if I continue to describe this boy's behavior, and you realize he never cleans his room, he never does his homework, he listens respectfully to his parents, but then does not do what they ask of him? You get the picture? By just listing the things the boy does not do, he might sound like a good little boy, but when we continue to list the things that he does not do, we realize the problem. There are so many things bad that we have not done, but there are so many things that this little boy omits. He simply leaves undone much of what he ought to do. But what about adults? Many adults have a similar scenario when it comes to what God has to say. Thousands simply are not doing what God has asked for them to do. It is ignorant to think that all good people go to heaven. Our Lord shatters that misconception. Listen to the preview of the future he has given us. You see, Jesus provided a glimpse of the future judgment. Those who fed the hungry, provided drink to the thirsty, clothed the naked, and visited the imprisoned, were told, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom." Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Others heard these words, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire." Matthew 25, 41. Now, what were the heinous crimes they had perpetrated? Why did they hear these words, "Depart from me"? Actually, it was not what they had done, but what they had not done that brought this judgment. Listen to the words of Matthew 25, 42 and 43. I was hungry, and you did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. They had omitted benevolent activities. It is not enough to simply refrain from evil activity. God requires we actively serve Him by serving others.
Friends, we ask you, in fact, the Bible asks you, not to congratulate yourself simply for what evils you have not done. The prophet of old wrote, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth Jehovah require of thee, but to do justly, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with thy God." Micah 6 and verse 8. Did you notice that this verse mentions that God has some things He requires? There is some expected behavior. There are things we ought to do. To leave them undone is the sin of omission.
Now let's turn our attention to the words from James. This reading is James chapter 4, verse 17. To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. This verse deals specifically with omission. James 4:17 presents a valuable principle. Now, to assist us in handling this accurately, we shall make mention of Luke 12:47 and 48. Here's the reading. And that servant who knew his Lord's will and made not ready, nor did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom they commit much, of him they ask the more. Notice that the servant who did not know his Lord's will was still accountable. The Lord's will was available and knowable. However, the one who knew his master's will and did not obey received greater punishment. Therefore, mark this in your mind. Ignorance does not release us from accountability, but knowledge does bring greater expectation. So now back to James chapter 4 and verse 17. We may now understand the warning better. If we know what we ought to do and we don't do it, we are guilty of the sin of omission. A classic example of this lacking is seen in the behavior of the first century Pharisees. Listen to the stinging rebuke the Lord issued against them. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and anise and cumin, and have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. But these you ought to have done, and not to have left the other undone. Matthew 23:23. Let's catch the flavor of this rebuke. You see, these religious leaders had been meticulous in keeping the Mosaic tithe requirement, even making sure to give a tenth of the increase of their tiny spice plants. God asked for a tithe of all, so they gave a tenth of all. When assessing their behavior, the Lord declared, "These you ought to have done." Remarkably, however, they failed to obey other matters God required. The Lord calls them the weightier matters of the law, namely justice and mercy and faith. The Lord rebuked them for leaving these things undone. I want to reiterate something because some have misrepresented our Lord's teaching on this point. Some have latched on to the Lord's phrase, the weightier matters. Then, leaving behind how the Lord used that phrase, they run away and make a false application. Men capriciously decide that certain Bible teachings are weighty and therefore important, but brush aside as non-important other teachings. The things they deem less important are ignored and treated as matters of no consequence. So let's not use that false application. Remember, the Lord said to the Pharisees, they rightly ought to have done the little things, but just not leave the other things undone.
So carefully following the will of God is important. Sometimes, however, we are so focused upon doing some things, we fail to consider the larger picture. Could this be happening in your life? Are you busy doing some good things, but maybe some other weightier matters are not receiving any attention? We can see parents working hard to provide for their children, food, clothing, and shelter, taking their kids to extracurricular activities like sports and music. But what spiritual education are your own children receiving? And what about for you yourself? Maybe you are taking care of your health with good diet and exercise. Maybe you try to get adequate rest. But what are you doing about your learning and obeying of the Word of God?
Great questions. This lesson should cause us to examine what might be lacking in our life. We ought to ask ourselves, what does God require of me that I may be leaving undone? We are now ready to hear one of the most important things of all. If this goes undone, the consequences are devastating beyond description. This reading comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. This passage is describing the events that will transpire when the Lord returns again. His first coming was in compassion and with sacrifice for sin. He loved us even while we were his enemies. Having paid the price, he returned to heaven, leaving his saving message for us to obey. But when he returns, the opportunity for obedience will have ended. He will come rendering vengeance. The text before us describes two broad categories. If you are not already there, please turn and follow along in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And you will find in these verses the two groups named. Number one, vengeance on those who know not God. Secondly, on those who obey not the gospel. To help us understand the first group, we can read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 5. Remember, our first group described those who know not God. So we'll be listening for that in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 5. Not in the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles who know not God. The Gentiles are described in general as those who know not God. This indicates those who are away from God. Most of humanity today falls into this category. The majority of people do not know God, have no knowledge of His Word, and are living lives contrary to His will. To help us understand the second group, that is, those who obey not the gospel, we note the tense of the word obey. It is a present tense. Therefore, an expanded rendering would be those who do not keep on obeying the gospel. Those who are not obeying the gospel will suffer the vengeance of the Lord. Some may have obeyed initially, but are no longer continuing in their devotion to the message of the Lord. If we are to receive a heavenly reward, we must be doing the will of God. Consider this example from the Old Testament. The prophet Jeremiah spoke God's message to a rebellious people. Here is a description of their historical behavior. God indicts his people with these words: "For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, Obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the stubbornness of their evil heart. Therefore I brought upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not." Jeremiah 11, verses 7 and 8. Did you catch the terminology? The people received God's commandments, but, quote, they did them not, end quote. That's omission. They failed to obey God. Before we bring this segment to a close, I would like to offer an example from the life of Joshua. You may recall how God had chosen Moses to be leader of the Israelite nation. Moses had so patiently endured the frustrations caused by the 12 clans. Eventually, leadership would pass to Joshua. He had been witness to how his predecessor had acted. Now it was up to him to lead the nation. Listen to how Joshua is commended in the following verse. This will be Joshua 11, verse number 15. "As Jehovah commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that Jehovah commanded Moses." What a wonderful commendation. Joshua left nothing undone of all that God had commanded. May we strive to be more like Joshua. And Jesus stressed this matter of failure to obey in one of his parables. Let's read together Matthew 21, 28 through 31. "But what think ye? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented himself and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Which of the two did the will of his father? They say, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." Like the little boy we spoke of earlier, this one son sounded very respectful toward his father, but failed to actually do what he was asked. Friend, you and I must be respectful to the Father in heaven and give more than mere lip service.
We all leave some things undone. We all have good intentions that are never acted upon. Ezra can serve as a fitting reminder an example to us. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, we read, "For Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances." Do you have the heart of Ezra? Are you seeking the will of God? And do you have the intention to do what you learn? Have you learned the pure New Testament gospel? The first step is to learn the will of God. Today, this is found in the New Testament. The next step is obedience. Have you obeyed that gospel? There are eternal consequences if this will of God is left undone. If you would like to learn it so you can obey it, please call to schedule a Bible class appointment with us.
Hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.